You are listening to Live with Thrive, an interactive conversation with host Stephanie Hale of Thrive in Southern New Mexico. Stephanie will be showcasing nonprofit agencies and business leaders that help support the community through Thrive, as well as discussing upcoming events and local news. Catch the Live with Thrive show every second Tuesday of the month on KHII Active Radio, 88.9 Cloudcroft, 100.5 FM Alamogordo, and 102.3 Ruidoso.
Good morning. Thanks, Mike. Today is Tuesday, June 8th, and this is Live with Thrive. I am your host, Stephanie Hale, and I have some amazing guests with me this morning. Mike and I were looking for... No, you go over there. Mike and I were looking for amazing music to play for an intro this morning, but we couldn't find it. But our wonderful guest this morning is David Squared. We have Sheriff David Black. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm good. Thank you for being here.
Yeah,
and then
no
we
problem.
Thank you. And then we have Mr. David Miller of New Mexico State Police. How are you?
Good morning. Good. How are you today?
I'm good. I'm so glad you guys are here, and Mike's hovering, so I don't know what he's going to do. Okay. So I want to thank you again for you both taking time out of your busy schedules to be here today. As our listeners know, we invite community members in to discuss what's going on in the community. And we've covered a lot of our nonprofits in the community, our school administrators, the hospital. And I thought, let's take a turn and see what our law enforcement have been up to and how you've been dealing with the last year and a half, really, now. And what we can expect in the future. I mean, the world, as we all know, is going completely insane. And we're kind of lucky where we are located here, away from all of those big cities, and we kind of have our own little things. So I want to start off with both of you answering this question. How have things been for each of your entities through this pandemic over the last year and a half?
I'll start.
Okay.
We're getting kind of back to normal. With things kind of winding down with the pandemic, and we're kind of back to business as usual. But during the beginning of this, we kind of took a more of a reactive approach. We, instead of being proactive out there in the community, we kind of stayed at the office and reacted to any calls that would come in, but not out there actively patrolling.
Sure.
Just the not knowing what was going on with the pandemic and how contagious that exactly was. There was quite a bit of concern about us getting infected ourselves.
Sure.
And things. And then we got tasked with the New Mexico State Police by the governor to enforce some of the COVID violations and regulations that she had come up with. So
you had to go in, for example, mask wearing in public spaces, correct?
Right, mask wearing, and then making sure businesses were complying and things like that. So it really changed the scope of what we do and what we had to do during this pandemic. And
sure. Wow, what a challenge that must have been.
Yes, definitely.
How about you, sir?
Well, as far as the sheriff's office, we had to work quite a bit differently. We put deputies in masks and stuff, and there were certain calls that we would try to handle with a phone call or something like that.
Yeah.
But it got to a point where it was kind of difficult doing that. So basically what I put in place was put your mask on when you're talking with somebody in public, wear your mask, all precautionary measures that you can, but it got to a point that we needed to make contact. So we did. We continued with responding to calls, just doing everything that we could to provide that service still. So again, a lot of the precautionary measures and stuff had to be put in place. And
did you also have to enforce the governor's mandates like the state police did?
No.
Okay.
and let me explain that.
Sure.
We felt that some of the orders were unconstitutional. We felt that some of the orders were out of bounds. So We didn't enforce any mask orders. We got a couple of phone calls for, you know, businesses that they felt were out of compliance, had mm-hmm. complaints and stuff on. We work with state police. I believe Captain Collars was still here at the time. If we had a complaint, then, you know, we went to it. We would contact Captain Collars and work, you know, collaborate with them sure. to try to. We didn't want to shut anybody down. We worked more in the lines of, let's make sure you're in compliance. Mm-hmm. So we did that quite a bit. You know, we had numerous businesses that, you know, called and voiced their concerns. And again, we just had to work with state police and collaborate with them to make sure we weren't telling them two different things.
Right.
You know, and you kind of make sure we were all on the same page.
Yeah, and you kind of had to prioritize, right?
Exactly.
What was really worth the safety of you all as well as all of us, the community members, based on those calls and just people, you know, after a while, I know people being isolated and not their whole livelihood has really dramatically changed.
Right.
And
right.
So you all have had to probably deal with even more outlandish types of situations, I'm sure, during this whole time. What are you guys dealing with as far as our local community and how the world, I guess specifically our nation, with all of the bashing of law enforcement and then the BLM issues and just things are just going sideways everywhere in our United States. How has that affected the morale of your teams as well as you all and in our community? Or has it even?
Well, I'll start on this one.
Okay.
Here's what I'm seeing as far as the sheriff's office. In the last 2 months, I've had 5 deputies resign. And in talking with them, basically, they feel they now have a target on their back. They no longer want to be in law enforcement. They have
sure.
they have taken other positions to, you know, provide for their family, and it's not in law enforcement. So we do have some people that, you know, we're vetting right now, background phases and stuff like that to try to get them replaced. But it's just sad when
their lives feel in jeopardy.
Yeah, when they feel threatened mm-hmm. by and. Here in Otero County, we have not seen the, you know, the rioting and the burning and all
right,
this stuff.
Right.
We haven't seen that. I think you're going to probably see that stick to your big cities. Again, we haven't seen it here. It's just my biggest concern is they have put all law enforcement under the same umbrella. You've got some bad apples. Okay, we've got some bad apples in law enforcement. You got some bad apples in every
profession. In everything. I agree.
Every profession. But they have put all of law enforcement under that same umbrella. Mm-hmm. And it's not fair to law enforcement. You know, it's not fair to target law enforcement for, you know, targeting them here for something that's happening back east.
Right.
You know, I've had some people, you need to change this, you need to change that. And I'm like, no, we don't. Okay, what we're doing here, we're doing good. You don't see those complaints. You don't see those things happening like they're happening back east. Mm-hmm. So, I feel that we're doing a very good job. We have restructured a lot of things, and I think we're providing a very professional service for Otero County, and we'll continue to try to improve on it and. Again, just provide that professional service.
Yeah. And thank you for that and
yes.
keeping us all safe.
Yes, ma'am.
How about you, sir?
So I think in Otero County, I don't think we've seen the problems. So for the most part, the community here has been real supportive of law enforcement, which we definitely appreciate. There's been, you know, a few small incidents here and there, just kind of isolated one or two people that we've dealt with recently that just no respect for law enforcement, and they won't comply with anything we say, and
right.
you know, We had them lock themselves in the cars and different things like that. That just won't talk to us and think we're there to rough them up and beat them up. And but for the most part, everything's been running smooth again. And it is difficult for us to get the numbers as well. We've been, state police as a whole, our numbers statewide have been going down, and people retiring and leaving the job, and just not, the recruiting has just not been there. It's just, it's hard. They've changed our retirement program, so it's 25 years now to retire, and things like that. It's just not as desirable as it once was, and it's hard to blame anybody for not wanting to take this job. It's, sure. You know, we get some of the new guys in, and it's talking about how it used to be when I started 20 years ago and how it is now. It's I don't know if I would start my career over now in these times.
Yeah, it has changed quite a bit.
Definitely.
What have you guys, have you felt any effect in the state, like other states and the larger cities, like we said, mostly up north and back east and even in California, with some of these political groups going to their government officials and wanting to defund? Have we felt any of that in the state and even locally? Has that even been an issue or been brought up at all? And is that a concern of the defunding?
This defunding thing, I don't really understand why we would try to defund the police, you know, and again, like the sheriff had said, there's such isolated events that occur throughout the nation, and yeah, we're always going to have the bad apples, but as a large, the amount of help we do provide out there is, you know, it's not seen by everybody, it's not reported by the news, but I mean, it's right. every single day going out and actually helping people or doing things for the community. And you know, the lot of the volunteer stuff that the officers do, and the you know, just their own time and their own money, and just really, I think in large, how much the officers do, and yeah. Defunding them, just to me, it just sounds ridiculous.
It is ridiculous, I think the people that say that are championing those discussions are, they don't look at the big picture. They're thinking of one incident or a couple of isolated incidents and thinking, well, let's just shut it all down. But they're not looking at the big picture, thinking they're no longer going to be protected. I mean, that's how I view it.
Right.
What do you think, Sheriff Black?
Well, I think as far as Otero County, we've got a very good set of commissioners, mm-hmm. Very pro-law enforcement. I do not anticipate or see anything as far as defunding towards us. Again, I think that is a national push, a national trend. The thing that we get updates all the time, intel, you know, from several different organizations that keep us kind of informed on what's going on throughout the nation. And if you look at a lot of these big cities that are looking at, you know, whether it be Washington, Portland, Minneapolis, some in New York, you know, that
right.
where they are cutting budgets, I mean, millions and millions of dollars out of budgets. If you look at the statistics, the crime rate in those cities has risen astronomically.
Yeah.
It's out of control.
And they want to cut it all off and it'll just skyrocket from there.
It's just going to get worse.
Yeah.
I really don't think we're going to see the effects of this defunding probably for another year and a half, until you actually get some more numbers mm-hmm. to where you can do these comparisons. But a lot of these big cities, yeah, I mean, we're already seeing the numbers. It's going through the roof. So, yeah. We're not going to let it happen here. Okay, we're going to continue doing our job.
Yeah.
There are some things in place that we're working with the city of Alamogordo right now, the Alamogordo Police Department, Chief Denton. Mm-hmm. We've worked together for many, many years. I think it's really great that we finally have a sheriff and a chief of police that communicate.
Oh, yeah, that's
great. Together. We got different programs, you know, that we're doing together now. And they have this this team for the mental health response team, in which they implemented. And once I kind of saw how that was working, Well, we've now joined forces with them on that. We're going to combine in their response team. So we've got a lot of our guys that we're putting through our critical incident training and stuff. Plus, we're going to have access to Miss Barunda, who helps with the mental health issues. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. There's a lot of times we go to these mental health calls, and once we identify that, okay, we've got a mental health problem here, a lot of times in law enforcement, we're limited on resources that we can provide.
Right.
But with Miss Barunda, she is giving us a whole plethora of additional resources, whether it be behavioral health or counseling or anything like that.
Is she working now for the sheriff's office?
She works with the police department right now.
Okay.
We are putting together a memorandum of understanding to where she is going to start helping, you know, respond to our calls.
Oh, that's great.
The county and the city's getting together with, you know, monies and stuff like this to help fund the program. So I think that will help. Instead of law enforcement just trying to deal with it, we're going to have some other resources to get them some help, the help they need.
That's great. I should mention we invited Chief Denton on, and he was unavailable. So, but do you find, with that said, what you just said, do you find that here in our area that the situations over the last year are a lot of mental health related issues?
I think it has been for quite some time.
Not just during pandemic times.
Right. I think it's been there for, God, I've been in this for 26 years. It's been there for a long time. We just didn't have the resources mm-hmm. to move any further. Law enforcement was, we can take them to this point, and then we got to start getting other people involved. Miss Barunda has helped us on a couple occasions already, providing services, you know, beyond what we can, and it's made a world of difference. I don't think anything has really changed over the years. It's just we're starting to recognize it a little mm-hmm. more. As far as, you know, these people responding to a scene, I got no problems with that. You know, they can come help us, but we still need to go because we need to make it safe for them to be there.
Yeah.
You know, we've already seen one incident in Oregon where they sent a therapist and, you know, she was stabbed. She was killed. Law enforcement needs to work alongside any kind of therapist or, you know, psychologist, anything like that that actually respond to a scene. So
sure.
I think it's a really good deal. And we'll continue working with them on that.
That's great. I want to go back to something you said a little bit ago, Sheriff Black. You said that you're having you've had five officers leave or retire or move on to other things. I'm sure before that you were probably not 100% staffed as it was. Am I correct?
Right.
So now you're even more. What can share with us, even you, David, share with us what someone can do if they're interested in joining that field and helping keep all of us safe and joining either of your teams.
So with us, we do have a website, that newmexicostatepolice.com, and it'll direct you to our recruiting page, and there's a pre-application you can fill out right there. As soon as you fill it out and submit it, you'll be getting a contact and follow up with your interest of joining the New Mexico State Police.
Sure.
And kind of the same boat. If they're interested, you know, you can get an application at county admin, fill it out, turn it back in. And then what we do after that is we'll go through once we get 5-6 applications, something like that. Then we'll start the process with the, you know, physical fitness standards, you know, the testing and stuff. And then we've implemented quite a bit. It's not as easy to get into law enforcement as it used to be, due to a lot of the stuff around the nation
sure.
and stuff. The vetting system now is very thorough. I mean, there are some people that turn in an application, and we'll go through the background phase. And there's a lot of them about halfway through. We're like, no, I'm sorry. This is not for you.
Right.
So, I mean, it takes a special person to be in law enforcement.
Sure.
It's been a very rewarding career for me. And everything I've done for 26 years has been right here in Otero County. You've got to be the right mindset, you got to be in it for the right reason. It's not just a paycheck.
Right.
It's a career. So it's difficult to get into, but to me, it's a very rewarding profession.
Yeah. I think that makes me think of some of these bad apples, as we mentioned earlier, probably weren't in it for the right reasons to begin with. Maybe they wanted to put on that uniform and strap on a gun, and then all that power went to their head. And probably in a lot of those cases that we see nationally, probably is what set them off. Or just, you know, we're so fortunate to not have that kind of situation here. What can the community do for to help law enforcement, or to, you know, I don't even know if we have neighborhood watches anymore. When I was growing up, there were neighborhood watches everywhere, you know, and I've lived in different places, and do we have that? Is that something that the community can, you know, help? Of course, we don't want to encourage people to call 911 every time they see, you know, someone doing something they think is not right, but what can you encourage us regular Joes to do to help our officers in the community and in the state?
I would think if you get with your own community and you want to start your own neighborhood watch program, if you contact one of our departments, we'll come out and speak to your neighborhood or anything like that, and try to get something in place. You know, we can get the signs, we can get whatever that community would like, or what assistance they can help us. But also showing up to some of the events that we put on, you know, throughout the town and things like that. And I encourage community leaders and people like that to come out and request a ride along. Come see what it is that we deal with day in and day out, and just kind of get more of an understanding, and you know, develop their own sense of what could help us. And you know, it's hard to say one thing that, hey, we need help with this or this, but you know, come out and actually see what we deal with, or you know, come out to one of the roadblocks or something like that, and see how we interact with people and see what we deal with on a day-to-day basis would be.
Yeah.
Kind of the same deal with the sheriff's office. We just put together a new neighborhood watch program for the Timberon community.
Oh, great.
Timberon's kind of a long way away.
They're kind of out there by themselves.
and there's a lot of times, if you know, we have incidents, you know, we got deputies stationed on the mountain, but there's a lot of times it takes 45 minutes to an hour to get there.
Sure.
And sometimes when we request assistance from state police, you know, they might come out of the flats here, so it may be an hour and a half before we can get there. So we set up a program with them, neighborhood watch program. We provided them with some radios and some frequencies, so that if they have a critical incident going on up there, I mean, they can get on the radio and actually call us, you know, so we can try to, you know, it's not going to cut that response time down, but it may help get us there a little bit quicker.
Sure.
You know, we've got a neighborhood watch program we put together probably 6 months ago in the High Rolls area. So we like doing that, getting involved. You're seeing us more at these community functions. You know, if we had them, right? We've kind of been lacking here lately.
Oh, tell me about it.
We're starting to see more of those. You know, the National Police Week, they had a bunch of stuff going on at Holloman. We have a child ID packet where we can go in, you know, we can ID your child and everything, give you a disc with all the information that if your child was to turn up missing, this is what you would need to provide.
We usually have you all come out when we do our Stuff the Bus event.
Yeah.
I mean, people just love to see any law enforcement. I know, Mr. Miller, we have work together with Toys for Tots and yes. just different community events. I know the our community members, all of us, we love seeing all of you come out and engage and help. And I know there for a while, I think it was right before the pandemic, there was coffee with an officer or something at the at Patrons Hall. I hope to see that start again. It's just really fun, and I know it's comfortable to know that we have folks like you all out there keeping us all safe. I mean, that for me, and I know I speak for so many, that makes us comfortable living in a safe community. I mean, you know, you're always going to have some issues and things, but for the most part, like we've been saying over and over, we are so fortunate to not have the types of issues and problems that we do as a nation as a whole in some of those larger cities. So we do appreciate it when you guys come out and help and talk to us. And even being here today, I know you guys have extremely busy schedules. So we appreciate you guys being here and just sharing with our listeners what we can do to help and what you guys are doing to keep us safe and keep yourselves safe. I think I just have one last question about how you guys are going forward now that things are opening back up, and in the next few years, what are each of your departments doing going forward? Do you have any big plans? You just mentioned that that you're working. It's great to see county and city in some way starting to work together, because we all know that's been a challenge. I worked for Otero County Administration for years, and it was a challenge even then, and it always has been. So it's really great to see that connection, and I'm excited to see where we're going to go in the future in all aspects. But as far as law enforcement, can you share with us anything that's coming up that we might want to hear about?
I think as far as the sheriff's office, again, we've worked. One of my main goals when I got elected, during my campaign and everything, was repair those relationships with other agencies, and we've done that. We've done it really well as far as working with the city. Now, we just got in a new CAD system. A reporting system uh-huh. for dispatch. We now have, the jail, dispatch, sheriff's office, Tularosa, Cloudcroft, the DA's office. We're all on the same RMS system.
I know that was a project they've been working on forever.
For years, and it got stalled.
Right.
It got stalled. So when I got in there, I'm like, okay, we're going to make this happen. It's going to happen. So everything is in place. It's working. We've got a few bugs. Once we got it installed, we realized, we just bought a brand new car that's got a bad motor in it. Mm-hmm. So we had to kind of replace the motor, some servers and stuff like sure. that, to upgrade. But we're getting it working really well now. So the major crimes unit, that's 12th Judicial District. Alamogordo, PD, Cloudcroft, Tule, Lincoln County, Rideau. So we're all on the same team and stuff.
That's great.
Then our narcotics unit, White Mountain Task Force, we've got all that together. PSAT, Consolidated Dispatch. Mm-hmm. That's something that's been going on for 12 years.
Yeah.
We're having a meeting on Thursday. We've finally got a joint powers agreement where all these entities are fixing to meet. That's going to happen. Our goal is by the end of next year that we're going to have a consolidated dispatch, to where it, sure. it takes care of all the law enforcement, fire, medical, everything. We'll have that work together. And again, with when Captain Collars was at State Police, we worked really well together. These guys right here, I've known them forever. We worked together when we were on the streets. I've been doing everything possible to keep that relationship.
Yeah.
now that Captain Hamilton's in there. We've had a few meetings with him, and I got nothing but I'm looking forward to working with these guys, you know, keeping that, that relationship.
I think that's so important, keeping those lines of communication open and working together.
Yeah.
Especially when it hasn't been the easiest to do that in the past. So kudos.
A lot of times when we need help, these are the guys we call.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
They need help. They're going to call us. We're going to go help them. And like I say, sometimes the administration didn't get along, but the guys on the street, we're going to go help them when they call for help.
Sure.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Most of the deputies I've grown up with, went to school with, and I mean, these are people I hang out with off duty.
It does make a difference when you have that, when you have a personal connection, because sometimes that's all you have to get things going. Like you said, you and Chief Denton worked together before, right? So that just makes it so much easier to have that smooth transition for everybody working together.
Right.
Yeah. So,
And I think as far as support that you're talking about, how can the when we go to these community relations type functions and stuff, you know, whether it's a day in the park or whether it's, you know, the, what was it, Cottonwood Festival or
Trunk or Treat and all these things.
Yeah, Trunk or Treat at the Elk, and we went to that last time they had it. So, I mean, just go and show your support, you know. It's nice to meet with the community on a non-emergency call type situation.
Sure.
I mean, let's stand and talk. You got any questions? You got any concerns? I mean, come talk to us. You know, let's talk and we're there for you, and we would just ask that you support us on these community functions and stuff like that. Yeah. So,
well, thank you, and you all heard that. Come out and support our local law enforcement. You know, I mean, I want to say again, thank you guys for everything that you do, not only to keep us safe, but your a fellow law enforcement team safe. I mean, it's so important, and I just thank you, and on behalf of our community members. So, and thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
Today. I appreciate it. It's sometimes hard to break away from your everyday routine. And I'm so appreciative of you guys coming in and talking with me. Like I said at the start, we try to get people, we want to know what's going on in the community, and we're trying to get every little aspect of every corner of our of Otero and Lincoln County in here to just share with everyone. This is broadcast live in Ruidoso as well. So we're just very thankful for what you all have shared with us today. And we're going to probably close a little early today. So if you guys, do you have anything else to share with us, with our listeners? And they're looking at each other.
Now that things are opening back up, I mean, it's time to be, you know, a little more vigilant and stuff like that. I know bars and things like that are opening back up, and we ask people to, you know, it's instead of going hog wild and hey, everything's great and open back up, you know, still take that responsibility and and be safe and be courteous to the people around you, and you know, just be careful out there.
For sure, don't get behind the wheel.
Right.
Yep. Totally agree.
Well, thank you guys. And again, you've been listening to Live with Thrive. And my name is Stephanie Hale. And thank you, Sheriff Black and David Miller of New Mexico State Police. And we will move right along. And I'm going to, you guys tune in, go to our website, letsthrivenm.org. If you want to listen to this broadcast once again, there's a link there for you. And I will see you next month with Live with Thrive.
You've been listening to the Live with Thrive show with your host, Stephanie Hale of Thrive in Southern New Mexico. Catch the Live with Thrive show the second Tuesday of each month on KHII Active Radio, 88.9 Plowcroft, 100.5 FM Alamogordo, and 102.3 Ruidoso.